Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick. Today is June 6th, and you're listening to show number 28 and month number 2 of Who's Reading the Organon? We will be reading aphorism number 282 and possibly 283, depending on how time runs today. One inspirational quote that I wanted to begin with was, was from Julie Gunn, who said, "It is a question of discipline." The little prince told me later on, quote, "When you have finished washing and dressing each morning, you must tend your planet." And that comes from the story of Le Petit Prince, The Little Prince, by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. So we do need to tend our planet. There's quite a bit going on with disasters and other things. You can read it in the news. I see Vera is on with us.
Hi, Debbie.
Hello, Vera. We're starting another week.
Right. Amazing it's come this far.
Yes. Each month we're going to count down to the end of the year. And I wanted to bring people's attention to a few of the HWC discussion boards. The first one is Hans Weibrecht's discussion of the Organon's paragraph number 153. He skips ahead of us in the reading and dissects the aphorism into its diverse parts to give us a better understanding of the search for a homeopathic specific remedy. So take a look at that. And I am so excited, Vera, about your little quizzes debunking myths. And they have gotten quite a bit of action. For instance, one of them is a patient should never touch the remedy globules with his hands or her hands, true or false. And you also have written remedies should only be given using disposable cups and spoons, true or false. Are all of these going to be true and false questions?
Well, usually not. What happens is that people have opinions. Everyone receives a certain knowledge or wisdom from their teachers or from homeopaths they know. And the question is whether people are going to ask questions, do we really need that? Is that really so? And to look in the sources to see, as someone wrote on the disposable cups part, Hahnemann didn't actually have disposable plastic cups and spoons. So how did he manage?
I really had a huge laugh on that. I think that was Dr. Sajjad.
Mm-hmm. I know. I came out of studies convinced that you should only use plastic cups and spoons. And it took the first patient who said, well, why? And I thought, well, I don't know why. So I started asking questions. And that's why I'm putting the myth up, really, so that people should ask why. For some people, it's not a myth. Some people are very definite that this is how you should practice. So the question isn't so much what you believe, but why you believe it.
Well, for us, we're two questioning ladies here. We're just digging in and asking why about just about everything we can and finding the source. And another discussion that's going on is how to take a case for the correct prescription in homeopathy using the Kentian method. And this is kind of a hot topic by Dr. Paul Matathukunel, and he's written at length. The goal is for all prescribers to come up with the same remedy for the case. Now, how innovative is that? Wouldn't we all like to do that and get a consensus?
Mm-hmm.
So there are many other active discussions, but the last one I would like to direct the listeners' attentions to is the political atmosphere and the news. Dr. Imtiaz was the first to point out that the World Health Organization committed fraud when they colluded with the drug manufacturers to hype the influenza pandemic of 2010. There is an article in the British Medical Journal and also in Natural News by Mike Adams. And so take a look at that. See what's going on and write your blogs. Let other people know the truth about the influenza pandemic of 2010. Kaviraj tells us that Monsanto is up to their tricks by sending sterile genetically modified seed stocks to the earthquake-torn victims of Haiti. And read about the Haitian people's response to this gift. So that's a great start for today.
Okay.
We're ready to go with aphorism 282.
Right. Okay, I'll read it from Berica and we'll see where we go. Yes?
Definitely.
Okay. It would be a certain sign that doses were altogether too large if during treatment, especially in chronic diseases, the first dose should bring forth a so-called homeopathic aggravation. That is, a marked increase of the original morbid symptoms first discovered. And in the same way, every repeated dose, however modified somewhat by shaking before its administration, i.e. more highly dynamized. So here Hahnemann is giving us signs how we tell when the doses were altogether too large. Says if during treatment, especially in chronic diseases, we have a distinction between chronic and acute, that in the chronic disease, if the first dose brings forth a so-called homeopathic aggravation, which means, if you remember that if the first dose, if what we see is a medicinal disease, that's what the so-called homeopathic aggravation is. It's important to remember the idea of an outline of a person drawn in blue, and a second outline just outside the outline of the person drawn in red. That's how a remedy should be, that the artificial disease sits on top of the original disease, of the natural disease, and is slightly larger than it. But if you can imagine that same picture, and here again imagine a whiteboard, if you imagine that same picture where the red outline is far outside the body outline, the red outline is the same shape as the body, perhaps, but it leaves too much white space in between. All that is artificial medicinal disease, and all that will be expressed in the form of aggravation.
Okay, that's a good picture to imagine. So we're trying to get as close as we can to the minimum dose that will fit snugly around the person.
Mm-hmm. And
he's speaking specifically of the LM doses here.
Here, not everyone agrees, because Hahnemann did give the C potencies in this way. The question is whether you see aggravation at the beginning or at the end of treatment, and it's commonly acknowledged that in dry dose you'll see aggravation at the beginning of treatment, and in LM you'll see them aggravations at the end of treatment, which is, by the way, one of the advantages that are attributed to LMs, that you see the aggravation towards the end of treatment when the organism is stronger already. So it can handle an aggravation if one appears, rather than at the beginning of treatment when the organism is weaker and it's like not the best time to be knocked over by a sledgehammer.
Doesn't feel good.
However, the question back to what you asked, Hahnemann worked with C potencies in this way, in this the preparation that's described in 246 and 247. So you can see the same progression, at least I've seen the same progression using C potencies in this way, not just LMs.
Okay.
Okay, shall we look at the footnote? There's a long footnote here. Oh, just before we do that, just to relate to the issue that this is for chronic disease, not for acute disease.
That seems to be a running theme along the entire Organon. It differentiates between those two states of being.
I think also if we imagine the acute disease as someone shouting, if you have someone shouting a bit louder than the person who's shouting in the first place, then you notice noise, but an aggravation is less likely in an acute case. And we know that very often with an acute case, you give higher potencies, you could even give larger doses, you won't see so much aggravation. You'll see a remedy that either can keep up with a dynamic and usually the speed of an acute case, or a remedy that can't keep up and therefore isn't helping. But you won't usually see a remedy outrun an acute case, which is where there would be an aggravation. That's also one way that I like to think of the remedies, that the disease is dynamic. It's like a person running around. So you need a remedy that can run a little bit faster.
Okay.
How does that image grab you, Debbie?
I like it.
Yeah.
You're using the imagery of people who are running around. I usually, in my mind, think about the energetic vibrations of atoms, how quickly they are knocking against each other in a space, or whether they have room to move more slowly or quickly. I don't know. Just what is happening in time and space for that person. And you're saying that they're shouting. It seems to be they're shouting because it feels in an acute situation more like a life and death situation than a person who's in a chronic condition who's become very, I wouldn't say comfortable, but accustomed to the symptoms that they have been living their life with. So someone who has asthma in the acute situation, they can't breathe, they feel like they're suffocating and they're going to die. But
and
and I wanted to just compare it to if they've had asthma for years and years, that strenuous, strident breathing becomes so into the background of their living that they don't even realize they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I've seen. Go ahead.
Carry on.
Well, I was just going to give the example. When you see in their throat how the breath is being pulled in and out, or their mouth is open and they're really mouth breathing, and they have no concept at all the struggle that's going on in their body because it's a chronic condition. They're living with this other dynamic of stress. Okay, I'm ready to hear what you want to say.
No, I was just thinking that very often in an acute situation, the dynamic's so fast of it that it's hard to aggravate it. The remedy either never reaches it or it helps. That's one of the things that we'll see. Let's move to the footnote. And the footnote, we'll read it. It relates more to miasms. We'll read it and see where we go. Well, part of it does. It's a long footnote. The rule to commence the homeopathic treatment of chronic diseases with the smallest possible doses and only gradually to augment them is subject to a notable exception in the treatment of the three great miasms while they still effloresce on the skin, i.e. recently erupted itch, the untouched chancre on the sexual organs, labia, mouth or lips, and so forth. This is syphilis. And the figworts, which is the psychosis. These not only tolerate, but indeed require, from the very beginning, large doses of their specific remedies of ever higher and higher degrees of dynamization daily, possibly also several times daily. If this course be pursued, there is no danger to be feared, as is the case in the treatment of diseases hidden within, that the excessive dose, while it extinguishes the disease, initiates and by continued usage possibly produces a chronic medicinal disease. During external manifestations of the three miasms, this is not the case, for from the daily progress of their treatment, it can be observed and judged to what degree the large dose withdraws the sensation of the disease from the vital principle day by day. For none of these three can be cured without giving the physician the conviction through their disappearance that there is no longer any further need of these medicines. So how do we understand this? I'm sure that some people outside will have some comment on it. And if
Gary is making some comments. Gary Weaver?
Yeah.
He says the aggravation occurs because the artificial disease, which is the remedy, is stronger. With water doses and LM, which are Q potencies, it is mainly slightly weaker and builds a gentle repetition of increasing stronger doses at the end of treatment with the LMs. The aggravation occurs because the real disease has gone. And then he adds, and the artificial disease now infects the organism. Stop the medicine and it's all fixed. So is he
right.
saying that...
This is what we discussed in 281, Debbie. But
okay.
in order to see whether the aggravation, and I think this is one of the major challenges that faces homeopaths, that you mm-hmm. see a patient is aggravating, what's causing it? Is it a continuation of the disease, or is it an artificial disease, or is it something else altogether that you didn't take into account? So Hahnemann says, in order to see what it is, stop giving the medicine, then you'll see if the disease dies down, if the symptoms disappear, and quickly, as a rule, then you know that what you were seeing was a medicinal disease. In the same way as I'm sure other people out there have also taken an allopathic drug that they've been allergic to, and then the doctor says, well, stop taking the drug, and we'll see if the symptoms disappear. Then we know that it was the drug that was causing them. And
okay.
here we have, this is like regular medicinal process here, where if you're not sure if the remedy maybe is causing the symptoms that you're seeing, which is very possible at the end of treatment, you stop the remedy. But that mm-hmm. that was moving back a little. What we're talking about now
yeah.
is the
okay.
issue of miasms, and that in the case of miasms, we give larger doses. But
okay.
this is only, and the important part here, it's only while the miasms still effloresce on the skin. So there's an understanding that all three miasms will start externally and move their way in. And if you nip it in the bud, if you catch them while they're still on the skin, the man is saying give big doses.
Mm-hmm.
Do we see
so
why?
This is speaking really about when a person is young, or can it start when a person is older? I'm just thinking that.
I think here Hahnemann is talking about the great miasms as a great infection, the infection itself, the infection of psora, the infection of syphilis, the infection of psychosis. Yes, and we have Gary weighing in. I see miasm equals infection if the infection is present. And
mm-hmm.
here we really see with the when the infection is on the skin, it's visible. It's in a way its most treatable appearance
mm-hmm.
when you can see it on the skin. And it's almost like Hahnemann is saying, when you see that on the skin, you just hit it with everything you've got.
like a large flyer.
Doses, yeah, large doses, rising potencies.
Uh-huh. Because you feel like the individual is at a strong point at this stage of the game here?
I think it's a mixture of the individual being at a stronger point, because while the disease is still external, the organism is stronger. But also, while the disease is external, it's more treatable. I think that's probably a central issue here.
Then why do so many people say how eczema is so hard to treat?
It depends how they're treating it. But then we come into the whole issue of treatment approaches, treatment methods, and why some people find homeopathy itself much harder to do than others, which is a complex thing. I remember I had these teachers when I was in school who kept saying to me, look, it's so simple. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about
it. Show me. I want to see it.
I think some people work a lot according to intuition, and their intuition will, together with repertorization and understanding of Materia Medica, and there are those who say that intuition is never just thoughts landing in the mind from no place. Intuition is composed of past knowledge, past understanding. But let's check over this part of the footnote. Let's look and see how we understand it better.
Maybe
we were talking about.
Okay, I was going to.
We were talking about. Sorry.
I was the two chipmunks. You go first.
Let me suck on my helium balloon first. there's a reference not everyone will get. Let's see, these not only tolerate, I'm just reading from in the middle, the three great miasms, or to use Gary's term, really, the three great infections, okay? When the infection is present on the skin, so that's like greatly simplifies the way that we talk about miasms if we refer to them as the three great infections. These not only tolerate, but indeed require from the very beginning large doses of their specific remedies, of ever higher and higher degrees of dynamization daily. So possibly in the cases of eczema that you describe, if they are part of a picture of psora, then they not only tolerate, but require large doses. Now this is something I think to go back into the clinic and to try to work with this.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely
large
not...
What specifically the large doses are, not high potency, but repeating doses in succussed water, in succussion?
Large doses. Yeah, it looks like large doses, higher and higher degrees of dynamization, possibly also giving the doses several times a day, which we can do with this method of dynamization. And I think here the issue is that you really need to be sure of your remedy. You need to know that the remedy process is good because of the repetitions and the large doses that are increasing. So this mm-hmm. is not treatment for the faint-hearted homeopath. Here you need to go in with every tool that you have in your toolbox. And there is reward here. If this course is pursued, Hahnemann says, there is no danger to be feared, as in the case of the treatment of diseases hidden within. You see, this is a big difference. We're treating the disease when it's outside, when it's in its beginnings, it's sitting on the skin. The time that there's danger to be feared, Hahnemann is telling us in inverse way, is when there's treatment of diseases hidden within. As with any hidden enemy that you're trying to fight, that's the scary part, when it's something that's out, that's opposite at you, and you can see what it is, and you know what it is much easier to handle.
Uh-huh.
How are we doing for time?
We're coming close. I'm thinking
Wow.
Don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes. Getting really close up so it's something that's visible.
I don't know. I don't know if anyone out there remembers Marty Feldman. I've just been overdosing on Mel Brooks movies, and Marty Feldman's whites of his eyes is something something that could probably be seen about a mile away. Anyway,
you're gonna have to do better on that one, so that we can all laugh with you.
You're not familiar with Mel Brooks movies.
I have seen them, and what was it that was said? He does make me laugh.
No, Marty Feldman acts quite often in those movies, and he has very large eyes that are often artificially made larger. So there's rather a lot of white, and there's a little pinpoint of pupil.
Ah, the exophthalmic. Is that what it is?
Probably.
Okay, move on.
Okay, so let's just repeat to the end of that that paragraph, and then I think that will be all that we have time for. During external manifestations of the three great miasms, this is not the case, i.e., it's not the time to be worried about an excessive dose. For from the daily progress of their treatment, it can be observed and judged to what degree the large dose withdraws the sensation of the disease from the vital principle day by day. Now note, we're observing and judging the daily progress of their treatment. This isn't a case of you give a remedy, you say take it three times a day, come back to me in 2 months' time and we'll see how you're doing. No. These patients are patients that we want daily, 3 days. We want to hear from them. We want to observe and judge to what degree the large dose is withdrawing the sensation. For none of these three can be cured without giving the physician the conviction through their disappearance that there is no longer any further need of these medicines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in a way, the chronic miasms on the skin seem to me to be compared to acute diseases.
Yes, they do.
Right? We would treat acute diseases the same way, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's giving, he's giving the physician some self-confidence, I think. You know, he's giving instructions specifically to the physician here about don't be what's the word? Not just afraid, but something hearted.
Don't be faint-hearted.
Faint-hearted. There you go.
All right.
So don't faint away until, get in there, get the guns out, shoot with all your ammunition here, and you're going to clean it up.
I think also the rewards are huge. When you manage to clear up a miasm before an infecting agent, to use Gary's expression, because it does hit it very sharply on the head. When you manage to get rid of the infective agent when it's on the skin, you're preventing it from moving in and turning into a hidden disease that will be harder to find and harder to treat. So it's like, keep it on the skin, keep it as much on the skin. Make sure that you're not driving a disease in with a wrong prescription.
Now that would be the concern. So this is where we really need to know exactly what to do, and I hope we'll cover that in the future. Well, our time is up. How about you want to give an overview and...
An overview.
A summary?
A summary is something like what you said before.
Don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes?
Something like that.
Don't be faint-hearted.
I think I'm going to put a little picture up of Marty Feldman on my blog, or I'll put it up on the HWC so people can see what I'm referring to.
Well, Gary just sent me one, so we'll have it. Thank you so much for the listening audience, and do not forget to take the Organon of Medicine off the shelf and read it. We'll see you tomorrow and continue with the conversation. Thank you, Bye. Vera.
Thank you, Debbie. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.